Jerusalem and proclaim to her that her hard service has been completed, that her sin has been paid for, that she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins. A voice of one calling in the desert, prepare the way of the Lord, make straight in the wilderness a highway for our God. Every valley shall be raised up, every mountain and hill made low. The rough ground shall become level, the rugged places a plain. And the glory of the Lord will be revealed, and all mankind together will see it, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. A voice says, cry out. And I said, what shall I cry? All men are like grass, and all their glory is like the flowers of the field. The grass withers, and the flowers fall, because the breath of the Lord blows on them. Surely the people are grass, the grass withers, and the flowers fall, but the word of our God stands forever. You who bring good tidings to Zion, go up on a high mountain. You who bring good tidings to Jerusalem, lift up your voice with a shout. Lift it up. Do not be afraid. Say to the towns of Judah, here is your God. See, the sovereign Lord comes with power, and his arm rules for him. See, his reward is with him, and his recompense accompanies him. He tends his flock like a shepherd. He gathers the lambs in his arms and carries them close to his heart. He gently leads those who have young. And then we go to John chapter 15, verses 9 to 17. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. If you obey my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have obeyed my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. My command is this: love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this. This he laid down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends, for everything I have learned from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last. Then the Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. This is my command: love each other. And may the Lord help us to do this. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Diana. Let's just pray for a moment, if we may. Father God, just as we think about those verses of Scripture for a few moments, I pray that you will grant us a fresh understanding of your love for us and your will and purpose in our lives. Fill us with your Holy Spirit, Lord God, to guide us and empower us to do your will, we pray. Amen. So we're at the second Sunday of Advent, and if you cast your mind back to previous years of Advent, very often, as we light the candles, we have various different themes. Perhaps traditional themes we think about on the first week: God's people, ourselves, and our part to play in God's mission. We think about the prophets who foretold the coming of Jesus and God's plan of salvation. We think about John the Baptist and the way he prepared the way for Jesus and told people to, if you call, repent and turn back to God. The fourth Sunday of Advent, we often think about Mary, the mother of Jesus, and her role in God's plan. And of course, Christmas morning, we light the white candle in the middle to remind us of the coming of Jesus. But sometimes we look at the candles and we think of the different themes of Christmas about love and joy and peace and hope and light. But the Advent liturgy, if you like, we're using this year. Last week, Ruth talked about expectations, about waiting and hoping. And Ruth encouraged us to open our minds and expect God to do amazing and wonderful things even today. Our theme for today is called Show and Tell, and more about that in a minute, because I'm going to show you and tell you. Next week, think about news of great joy. And the final Sunday before Christmas, we think about God's gift, and on Christmas Day, we welcome Jesus. So normally, on this Sunday, we might be thinking about the prophets, and that's why I want to have those verses read from Isaiah chapter 40. Which also links into our theme today. In verse 9, shout from the mountaintops, your God is coming. Shout it, speak it out. I remember when me and Paul were very little, we lived in the northeast of England and in a place called Stockton-on-Tees, and the Queen was coming to Stockton-on-Tees. It was very exciting. Stockton-on-Tees is I'd say famous, but it is recognised. Apparently, or it did have the widest high street in the United Kingdom. There you go. That's a ooh. But there's a. If that comes up in your Christmas quiz, I very much doubt it. But there you go. But in the middle of the high street, two lanes either side, and a big wide open area where the market used to go. But on this day, the Queen was coming, so all the school children were there. And we're all told to sit down in this middle. It was a summer's day. We all sat down in the middle. And we're told, don't stand up unless we tell you to. Okay, that was. And Paul and I, being obedient children of the manse, we sat down. But when the Queen was coming, the car was coming, everybody was so excited, they stood up. And I don't know if it was both of us or just me, probably just me. I just sat there because I hadn't been told to get up. And I'm getting knocked and all people around. But the excitement of the Queen coming to Stockton-on-Tees, she was obviously going to unveil a plaque or something like that. That's what the Queen tended to do in those days. But the excitement. And Isaiah saying, shout it from the mountaintops. Your God is coming. And he reminds us of a voice of one calling in the desert. Prepare a way for the Lord. In the desert, prepare a way for the Lord. And this word is as fresh and relevant today as it ever has been. In the desert of this world, be it people who are lost, be it of political and economic uncertainty, the cry of the prophets to us here today is, in the desert, prepare a way for the Lord. Anyway, back to show and tell. That's a theme that's been given to me, and it's caused me a little bit of consternation in terms of how to think about that. But effectively, Jesus came to show us and tell us about the love of God. I don't know you primary school and junior school teachers, do you do show and tell in the class still? Do you ever do a bit of show and tell and bring something and talk about it? I suppose it's a way of trying to get the children just to learn to speak in public. We've got lots of kids here that have no problem speaking in public. But for many, it's part of that growing up, isn't it? It's particularly the quieter children to learn just how to express themselves in front of people, not necessarily in a gathering like this, but even just amongst a group of family or friends. And our Advent candle reading earlier mentioned that today we're remembering that Jesus came to earth to tell us of, and more importantly, show us what God is like, what God's love is like. And that's what he did through his teaching, through the way he treated people, particularly through the way he went to the needy and the outcast. But thinking about this, just keep moving. It will keep moving, or the sun will keep going that way, or will it go that way? If you need to move, folks, don't be afraid of moving. So Jesus came to do this, but I was thinking about this, but actually, if you look at Scripture, yes, Jesus came to tell us about God's love and to show us about what God is like. But there is a more important reason why Jesus came. The primary purpose Jesus came to this earth was to save you and to save me. That's what Scripture says. And sometimes in Christmas time, we think about the love and the joy and the peace and the benefits of having of God coming to us, Emmanuel, God with us. But let's not forget, the reason God sent Jesus was his people had turned away from him for centuries. Turned away from him time after time. Kept on sinning, kept on doing things that are wrong. And so God had his master plan. How once and for all can I solve this problem of my people? Jesus' primary purpose, his primary motivation, was to save us from the death we deserve for our sin and wrongdoing, and lead us into an everlasting relationship with him. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him will not die but have everlasting life. You see, this isn't just it. God has a bigger plan for each and every one of us, an eternal plan. In Luke 19:10, we read, the Son of Man came to seek and save the lost. You see, as we look at Jesus' example of how he came and showed love to people, as you look around the world today, it's not just Christians that show love to people and care for people and demonstrate what God's love is like. There's plenty of people in this world that are good and can show us what God's love is like. They might not say it's God's love they're demonstrating. But God made us. God made people to love and to be good and to be kind. There's many people can show and love and care towards others. But there's only Jesus that can save people. And only Jesus that offers new life and everlasting life to those who believe in him. So as we think about this theme of show and tell about Jesus, it also challenges us to consider how we show God's love and how we tell people about it. And in all honesty, we're probably better at showing it than telling it. The Bible's very clear. It's not just for preachers and church leaders to tell people about the love of God. We're all in this together. We're in school Christmas concert and nativity season. We went to one this week with the local schools, and some of our folk were singing there. There were some very new Christmas songs there I'd not heard of before, particularly at Christmas time. A Million Dreams from The Greatest Showman in the Christmas Carol service. And Fix You by Coldplay. I was a little bit puzzled at that, but there you go. But it's without so much great Christmas music they could do, and let's just do a couple of a musical song thing. I sound like a grumpy old man now, don't I? Yes, okay. I am a grumpy old man. Thank you, Paul. But sometimes when you go to these gatherings, I also feel a little bit sad sometimes because the kids at school, they all do the nativities and they read the story, and many of them will stand up front and read parts of Scripture, and yet they read it and to some extent they know it. But the sadness is they don't really know what it means. if you get what I'm saying. They don't really know the impact that it can have on their lives. Many of them don't know the impact that the love of Jesus had over the centuries. They don't know him. For many, it's just a nice story that means they get this amazing time called Christmas time. How has it come to this? How poor over the years have we been as God's people of showing and telling about the love of God and what the story of Christmas really means? The reading from John 15 was one that we read when we lit the candle as well. Let me just remind you of that. I love you just as the Father loves me. Remain in my love. If you obey my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have obeyed my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. See, when Jesus taught about God's love and about love itself, his teaching was pretty straightforward. He gave a number of commandments. Love God, love your neighbour, love your enemies. Maybe in this day and age we can also add love yourself, because God loves you. And Jesus is telling us here to love God and to remain in his love. What does remain in his love mean? Well, to me, it's about staying close to God. In whatever way you feel you can do that, be it coming together in worship, be it reading his word, be it praying, be it finding times of peace and solitude, just to remain close to God. But that passage from John also reminds us that God's love requires some obedience. Some obedience. It's a command, love others as I have loved you. Christ's love was shown in his actions, both as he lived and as he died, as he was put to death. Those famous words, there's no greater love than to lay down one's life for one's friends, talking about his forthcoming crucifixion and death. Now, for you and me, we're very unlikely to be called to lay down our life for someone. But what if we just changed a couple of words and made this verse perhaps a bit more accessible and relevant for us today? Let me suggest a few things. There is no greater love than to lay down your time for your friends. There is no greater love than to lay down your self-interest for your friends. There is no greater love than to lay down your fears for your friends. Or there's no greater love than to lay down your pride for the sake of your friends. Because as I think about this theme of show and tell, it just keeps coming to me about what are the things that stop us sharing that love to those around us. And it might be all those things, we're too busy. I can't be seen with them. Actually, I've got my own priorities. Yet Jesus reminds us quite clearly, we're simply called to love, and love in word and deed, in word and action. And in John 15, he reminds us well about Jesus. He says, you didn't choose me, I chose you. Each of us are chosen to show the love of God to those around us. And that's important because when we ask God to bless somebody And we often pray that, will you bless this person? Will you be with this person? You know, very often the answer is for us, his followers, to do something. Sometimes we can just pray, oh Lord, just bless that person, be close to them, send someone to be with them, to draw alongside them. How many times is that actually us that needs to go? So how do we show people God's love? Well, the Bible's full of examples. 1 Corinthians 13, it's all about us being kind and patient, helping other people, about not being angry, of protecting people, of helping people. In Isaiah 58:10, we read, feed the hungry and help those in trouble. That seems pretty clear to me. And when we have our youth choir Christmas concert in a couple of weeks, we're going to take up an offering for the work of the food bank. It's still an absolute calamity and travesty that in this day and age that we have food banks. I was at an event through work on Wednesday morning in Congleton. Congleton, sort of mid-south Cheshire. Is it mid-south? Mid-Cheshire, thank you, Pete. And you look at Congleton, I think Congleton's quite a wealthy place, a lot of well-to-do people around there. There's a massive food bank there. And I think the population of that town is much bigger than ours, about 30,000 people. They fed over 10,000 different families in Congleton. Or gave out over 10,000 different people food. That's crazy, isn't it? And here in our town, what, 10, 11,000 people rely on the food bank. Practical ways of showing God's love and helping people. In this time, I believe that's what we're called to do. We're called to help those in need. Do acts of kindness that just bless people and show God's love. Help the poor and needy. So how can you put, how would you, as you think about this now, how would you put into words and actions the love of God and helping those around us? The love of God requires us to act to help those in need. But as I said earlier, there's loads of really good people who don't have any type of Christian faith, don't believe in God, but they still do great and good and things which are full of love to those around them. For us as Christians, the difference is our motivation. We do it because we serve God who showed love to us and we want to pass that on. But unless we tell people that, how are they going to know? In Romans 10:4, we read, everyone who calls the name of the Lord will be saved. But how can they call on him unless they believe in him? How can they believe in him unless they hear about him? How can they hear about him unless someone preaches to them? And how can anyone preach without being sent? How can they know? It's all about, we've been shown and told about the love of God. And it's like that example in terms of kids in school. They bring something in, they this is what it is, and I'll tell you a bit about it. It's about us as believers learning how to show and speak of what we believe, particularly at this time of year. I had an email from someone the other day, an email exchange with someone, and the message came back, best wishes for the festive season. Best wishes for the festive season. We had a Christmas card the other day. What did it say? Winter wishes to you. Here's winter wishes. How have we come to a point of watering down what was the most significant thing that's ever happened in human history? But that's the world we live in, isn't it? And perhaps that's why we're a bit hesitant even talking to friends and family about what we believe. Because we live in a culture now where sometimes you're scared to say that, particularly in a work environment, you're scared to say what you believe in case someone not just challenges you, but reports you for it, because it might not fit in with the point of the world's point of view at this moment in time, where it seems to be, unless you have one particular view on all sorts of issues, to speak out loud puts yourself at great risk. It might just be risk of ridicule, or it might be risk of a backlash, if you like, on social media. It seems to me, as my dad used to say, it seems to me that more than ever there is a need for us as followers of Jesus to be able to put into words, simple words, what we believe. Just in a conversation setting. To put into simple words. As Jesus did, people sat round, they'd sat round and have a glass of wine, they'd have a bit of food, and they'd talk about things. And just sit round and just sort of talk about the issues, talk about everything, life, talk about, Jesus would talk about how God loves them and how they should live their lives. And there just seems to me we need to sort of try and get back to that. When we're talking about what we believe at Christmas and what we're doing and why we're going to church on 11:30 on Christmas Eve, if that's what you do, I'll be here. While you go to church on Christmas morning, we go to celebrate God's love for us. And not just for us, but God's love for all mankind. So I'm just thinking in terms of what, as we think of this issue of show and tell, what we need, we need courage. We need not to be afraid. As the angel appeared before Mary, do not be afraid. As Jesus said to the disciples when he appeared out on the boat in the storm, do not be afraid, for I am with you. A few years ago, I preached a sermon about the urgency of the gospel, about the need to speak out and tell people about Jesus. And I used an illustration, which I'm going to use again. So some of you might remember it, but there again, you might not remember what was preached on last week, so I might be safe. I've done this throughout my life. Is you've got a non-Christian friend, and you're desperate for them to come to know Jesus, but you're a bit scared about having a conversation with them. So what do? Well, you might send them a Christmas card with a scripture verse in it and make sure it's got a Christmas scene on the front. You might actually, if you give them a lift, just put a worship CD in the car with the hope that the words of scripture that comes from this music in the car, they'll hear that and they'll say, stop the car, pull over, I want to give my life to Jesus. Or it might be in your little room in your house where you go for a comfort break. You might just leave a Bible or a tract. So if they need to go to the business, they might read it and have an amazing experience. I better stop that right now. But in this day and age, maybe it's about on Facebook, you might just share something, maybe it's a verse of scripture or something like that. But all these different ways where actually we try and subliminally tell people about Jesus without actually telling them about it. To say, God, I'm going to put that scripture verse out there on Facebook. Bless it, please. Please speak to my friend who's going to see it. See, following Jesus is all about relationship. It's all about having a relationship with God and being able to speak to him, which we do through our prayers. But it's about having relationships with others and being to express what we believe. And that's challenging. I recognise that's challenging. And I struggle with it as well. But the good news we have is too important to share, isn't it? The world's desperate for some good news. Goodness me. All the stuff about Brexit and are we in? Are we out? Is it hard? Is it soft? Who knows? Who knows what's going to happen? I suppose the question for that is, who do you put your trust in? Do you put your trust in politicians and leaders who don't seem to have a blinking clue about what's going on or what's best? My cynical view is, they're only looking at what's best for them and not what's the best for all. Or do you put your trust in God, who is your eternal heavenly Father, who has a plan and a purpose for you, who loves you and has a plan that isn't just for this lifetime but for eternity? The world is desperate for some good news. So let's remind people about the key themes of this season, about love about joy, even in times of sadness, we can still experience the joy and peace of knowing God, about hope for the future, that we're not alone. My favourite word at Christmas time, Emmanuel, God with us. God with us, not just Christmas, but all the time. Are you looking for some hope? Are you looking for comfort? Are you looking for peace? Are you looking for love? All can be found in Jesus. And these are things we need to be talking about. I've reached a certain age now, early this year. Well, some of you know, I very nearly didn't reach it the night before my 50th. I had a car accident. Hallelujah, I walked away unharmed. But I was saying to Anne the other day, all of a sudden, a lot of people I know are dying. Two blokes, I started work with at the NatWest in 1986, age of 52, died a couple of weeks ago. Colin Barthorpe knew this guy very well as well. An old school friend of mine, heard him on Thursday, was part of the Cubs at Otley Methodist Church where me and Paul grew up, age 50, suddenly passed away. I've got to that age. But it reminds me of, we're not just made for this time here on earth. God has made you and me for an everlasting time. And to the human mind, that seems absolutely bonkers, doesn't it? If you were talking to someone about that down in Costa, they might look at you strangely. But if you believe what Scripture says, that's what Scripture says. Jesus said, I've gone to prepare a place for you. We don't know what it's like, but God promises it's going to be good, and that's good enough for me. So who do you put your trust in? How do you live your life? How do you show God's love to others? How do you tell others about what God means to you and what his love means to you? More than anything, I pray for each of us, those words, do not be afraid, will be in our minds whenever we sat around chatting to people, be it at the Christmas do, be it in the workplace, be it with your friends in Costa or if you're down in the pub, wherever you are. May we not be afraid to speak out the truth of what we believe and what we know. Let us speak boldly about our King Jesus, the babe born in Bethlehem to die for you and me. Will you show and tell those you know of the amazing love of God shown through his Christ child who came to earth to live, to teach, to be put to death, to rise again, so that you and I will not die but have everlasting life with him in heaven. Amen. Paul's just going to come and share a song to we've done many times over the years, just to think upon that, and then Ness will lead us just in a time of some worship response before we pray.